You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
I must turn my attention now to my interview this morning, as I did promise you guys. Very sad moment today as well. Activist Wendell Eversley, uncle of slain acting corporal Anushka Eversley at the Municipal Police Station. Wendell, good morning to you, and condolences from us here at Freedom 106.5 FM. All our listeners, no doubt, we want to extend our heartfelt prayer and condolences to you and your family at this time. Good morning. You need to unmute your... You're still muted. I need you to unmute your mic.
Yes.
You just need to unmute, Wendell. Your end. I know you're hearing me, but on your end, it is still muted. Your mic. I'm seeing your mic muted here. Right. There you go.
Unmute.
You're on mute. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to... Good morning and good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you very much for joining us on this sad occasion today. I hate having to speak to persons when things like this happen. I feel like we should be chatting with each other, you know, all the time and not just in this state of sadness. But good morning to you and thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
Well, I must say that it's painful. We are trying to cope. But with God, we will get through this. Because in times like this, the family will need all the support we could get, because it's... We couldn't believe that this would have happened to Anushka, left for work and never returned. And in the circumstances that how she died, it's really, really, really painful. And I must say, when I look at her three children yesterday, especially her eldest child, her daughter who is 17 years, writing CAPE examination in about 2.5 weeks' time. And I watch her say, "All right," she's saying yes. But deep down in her heart, I am not a counselor. But deep down in her heart, I know the pain is there. I know how she's feeling. But I keep asking God to give her the strength and the courage to know that she has two other siblings, 15-year-old and a 6-year-old. I know. It's painful.
Yeah.
Painful.
I could imagine. I mean, when we get the circumstances surrounding this incident, we see that a police officer has been held in the probe as the hunt for the stolen guns and ammunition continues. Now, this officer is also attached to the San Fernando Municipal Police Station, and he's in custody, you know, of this. What are your thoughts, given the fact that the Prime Minister this morning indicated that it's a betrayal, but there is no real breach? They're not seeing this. Those in authority, from my, you know, summary in looking at various news articles, they're not seeing it as an attack on national security or a breach per se that criminal organizations outside organize. They're just seeing it as, here's what, one of our own set up the scene for people to come and thief the guns. What are your thoughts when the authorities can say, nah, we still solving crime, all is well, this is not a major breach? How do you feel? A life was lost, the heinous way in which the body was found, and all these things. I don't want to rehash that right now. But I want to focus on the fact that the Prime Minister and those in authority, they're just seeing this as a betrayal. We're getting the officers in, we're going to investigate them and probably bring them to justice, but there's no real... When people could go in the station, boy, I don't care how organized it is, you go in a police station, what are your thoughts?
This is an indictment on the state. It's not no betrayal. It's an indictment on the state, and we have to say it as it is. The only time I can remember something like this take place is in 1990, when they went to the police headquarters, blow up the police headquarters, and I was held hostage in the parliament chamber when the police headquarters was blown up. When you could say it's a betrayal of one of their own, it's not an indictment on the state, not on the security intelligence. But we have a Minister of Homeland Security who says we are on top of intelligence. And how come there was not on top of that intelligence? That in a police station, 60 guns, we don't know what type of guns, and over 4,000 rounds of ammunition. So the person who they're saying is one of their own, are they employing criminals to be part of the municipal police service? What these guns taken out of a station going to do? Where's war on who? The state? Who is the state? Not the government? We have a security council chaired by the Prime Minister and other members of the Protective Service. Are they on top of their game? Because when we could see something like this, this is people went into a police station, they say it was one of their own, and then they want to distance and separate them from municipal to different from the regular TTPS.
This is what baffling me, boy. That is the part.
What uniform they wear?
Same police issued uniform.
What vehicle they drive?
Some of them mark municipal police, but police, same red, blue and white, same lining, sticker, police. They have the same powers of arrest. They go to court. One person was messaging me and saying them just handle vendors only. No. They are police officers.
They are police officers and they man the city, the corporations, the borough. And we see some of these same police officers who are senior superintendents and superintendents. They take them from the police service and put them in charge. We have others who are senior superintendents of police for San Fernando and put them in charge from the regular police and put them in charge of the city corporation. Today in Trinidad and Tobago, the blood is flowing on the streets. And we have a Minister of Homeland Security. Anytime you hear him speak, he's a lot of wiggler. And sometimes I ask myself, if we take over the job of special branch, do we have a special branch in this country?
Well, as far as I know, yeah, we do.
Right, but sometimes when we see the Minister of Homeland Security, he look like he's doing a bodyguard job. And if we have people who cannot do the job, because I remember calling on Fitzgerald Hines on many times to go, he should be fired. Because as you rightly said, a lot of murders was under their watch also. A lot of, and you know what is the most hurtful thing that we've seen in this country here today? we are, instead of we stand up for what is right, we want to pick side while our country is hurting, while our country is burning. We will want to study how to get away of the Secretary of CARICOM. We will want to study how to get involved in other country internal affairs. And while our internal affairs here in Trinidad and Tobago is not being attended to, and is a runaway horse, are we seeing citizens in this country free? Are we seeing the citizens in this country safe? Citizens, they're telling us, trust the police. Work with the police. But what are the police doing right now? How we could trust them? How we could trust them, the public? And if you all don't want to notice it, you go on the street right now, you do a survey, you will ask the people that trust the police what they will tell you. They will tell you no. And it's facts. And we have to get the people who could do the job. Our security intelligence fall down? Do we have the right set of people governing this country? Different portfolio, different ministries. When you listen to the debates in our parliament, it's like a fish market. Sometimes I ask myself, David, would us sing a song about 20 years ago, The Madman Rant. You ever listen to that song?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Rant of a Madman. Yeah.
You ever listen to words? And he says, somebody promising this, somebody promising to fix the crime, somebody progressing human rights, somebody promising more jobs for all. Are we seeing this today? Sometimes I ask myself, it's best to take the parliament and carry down sentence and let them operate there. And someone will jump up and say, look at performance, give them performance. This probably lapsing in this country. I'm here to say it as it is. Don't matter if you love a party. Yes, love a party, but love your country first. Love a party, yes, but make sure that the people who we elect do the work. If you cannot do the work, be honest to yourself. Tell the head of the cabinet, which is the prime minister, this job too big for me. Thanks. Get somebody who's the expert in the field. Because when you look at what we're going on today, blood flowing in the streets of Trinidad and Tobago, every day is murdered. You hear only lately wrong, how much? 4 persons, including a child.
Mm-hmm. Mass murder.
Including a child in a state of emergency. In a state of emergency, the prime minister tell the population, if a little behave, I'll give a next state of emergency. You get the next state of emergency, and what happened? Is the crime solved?
But outside of what the prime minister said, I also have where the commissioner said that there is not much to worry about due to the fact that we're in a SOE. He says we don't feel like we're in a SOE, but we are working and we are getting results. So even those in authority have agreed that under this SOE, we still feel like it's business as usual. You don't get that real sense that we are in an SOE unless it comes home to your doorstep in the sense of, well, maybe you getting arrested under a PDO or some family member or somebody real close to you get arrested and detained under a PDO. Then you realize, hey, yeah, boy, you're really in a state of emergency. But with so many persons held, it's less than 30% actually charged. So I say to the Eversley family this morning, do you think that this SOE has failed us? Let's take a phone call. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Murray. Morning, Mr. Eversley, Prince Song.
Good morning.
Mr. Listeners, I will ask Mr. Eversley if he could comment on one of the issues we have here with crime. Is the cultural component to crime in Trinidad and Tobago, where we have seen generations after generation, from father to children, going down the line, whatever, you've seen this culture of crime, and whether the strategies we are using is in any way seriously relevant to treating with this problem. It is more than just the ordinary. Trinidad and Tobago is a unique kind of place with all these convergence. So I would like to hear Mr. Eversley's thoughts on that, how we can address this problem, because you have the whole question of the dependency syndrome, and to me, crime is one of the spin-offs of that dependency culture that our leaders have foisted upon us.
Okay, thank you so much. Would you like to respond? Mr. Eversley? All right, you seem to be frozen there. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. It's possible that he's not hearing you. Let me just say this to you. I just want to follow up on Princess Tong here. Princess Tong, there is a culture of crime in this country, and the culture of crime doesn't stop. You see, there are several persons and organizations which are involved in massive white-collar crime. These people steal billions of dollars annually from the state coffers. They steal it from the economy, and they take that money and they do whatever it is they want with it. And when that money is withdrawn from the economy, people who have to get medical attention, people who have to get social welfare benefit, when you want to use money in order to lift a community up, to retrain your human resource, to redirect them, you do not have it. So you see that white-collar crime, Princess Tong, which the political directorate protects by not putting institutions in place in order to treat with it, it is the bedrock of our disease in this country. Once we get rid of that, we can eliminate all of the violent criminal conduct that we see taking place. And this dependency syndrome that you speak about, a country must be able to take care of the least in the society. And no one can say that if it is a state assist people in giving them a hand up, it's a dependency syndrome. Thank you.
Mr. Eversley, I think we had a little disruption.
Hello, you hear me?
Yeah, we had a little disruption. I drop. Yeah.
Concerning the dependency syndrome,
mm-hmm.
We had a lot of institutions where some people, when they couldn't cope with the theory of the education, we had the practical. And we see all that was taken away. All that was stopped. You remember the trade schools, the trade centers, the youth camps? Where are all these things today? Where are all these trades today? It is no more. Long time we had great trade men coming from these institutions. You remember John Donaldson Technical Institute, where you had students who could have gone part-time in the evening on Saturdays. You remember also San Fernando Technical Institute. You remember also that those who could not have coped with the common entrance, after that they send them to a trade school, even in junior, senior comprehensive and even junior sex, right? You used to have trade teachers teaching trades, and we used to see people more in a dependency syndrome in terms of they are qualified trademen and they used to go about getting jobs and all these things. Are we seeing this today? No. So the URP and the CPEP and the forestry, these was relief programs for those who you say come out from a system where they could not have coped. And we are seeing today the dependency syndrome is created by who? By politicians. By politicians. And now they say that how it is now criminal entity controlling it. So they create a system that embedded in criminality.
You know, I mean, let me just get this voice note for you as well.
Good morning again. I just want to get opinions from people. You know, they have... this is a reality check, right? Is this not reason to flee this country, right? You have 60 guns plus the guns that was already there, right? Those people and them didn't take that gun to export it. They take that gun to create chaos, to make crime, to do crime in this place. One of those guns kills a family member of somebody.
All right. As we continue with our discussions this morning, Mr. Eversley, you know, one has to ask, you know, you in the papers this morning, you said that you demand justice. And I said this morning, I remember saying very early as I was going through the headlines on page 7 of our Guardian, the uncle of slain police officer demands justice. How do you purport that the government go about getting this justice for your niece this morning? What ideas do you have in mind? Do you see the removal of the sitting defense minister and minister of Homeland Security as part of that justice system that you are calling for?
Now, justice, when I say we demand justice, not only for her, justice for all. It's to be justice for all, not for one person. We have the SSA. You remember the SSA?
Yep.
Yeah. Wait. What ministry that fall under right now?
I think that was disbanded.
No, it's under the Attorney General.
The Attorney General, SSA, then, no, SWAT was disbanded. Okay. The SSA, yes. Under
so,
the
so
Attorney
why
General.
Why they move it from the Ministry of Homeland Security? Why they didn't put it under the Ministry of Defense then after? Right? Because when you look at it, and we say the Minister of Homeland Security told us that how the American intelligence give them names of certain individuals, right? Individuals. Remember Candace Bunn, a former ambassador, who said to us there are people sitting in the government. And when she mean government, she mean opposition and the ruling party involved in human trafficking. Remember, a former commissioner of police tell us they have that on active investigation. I wrote a letter concerning what the former American ambassador said. She said that investigation ongoing. A lot of high-profile investigation carried out by the TTPS is still ongoing. We see and witness Joshua Samaru was murdered by who? The whole world see what took place. They say the files will reach on the desk of the Director of Public Prosecution soon. But we see a domestic affairs where a wife kill her husband in twinkling of her eye, the files reach on the desk of the Director of Public Prosecution. A decision was made. The mother back out to see about her children. But who will see about that 5-year-old girl whose mother was paralyzed in the incident with the shooting where she Kamala husband was murdered? Who will see about that 5-year-old girl? So have we seen in this country those who are more corns could feed more fowls? Is that what we're seeing in this country? So justice, if we have a minister telling the population at large that he's mourning for his businessman friend, I didn't say this, he said it in his own words. And we all know the circumstances. Christopher Samaru is Joshua Samaru's father. He mourning for his son. Her mother is grieving. His common law mother. is grieving for her daughter who paralyzed, who is studying about death. So if you know you can't do the job, and I'm saying it, and I don't care who get vexed with me, we need somebody who's more qualified to do the job as Homeland Security Minister. And if you go out and you do a survey right now, the population, you'll come back with about 80 to 90% saying, yes, it's time to get a new Homeland Security Minister. And you have people in that will be the same UNC party membership will be saying also to, yes, it's time. But who listening?
All right, I seem to have lost you again.
Who listening?
Oh.
Our country, our citizens, right now. Listen to me, tough people right now, like we are living in fear. You know, are we seeing right now politics of fear? If you come out and talk, you'll be victimized. You'll be victimized. You'll be prosecuted. We should be able to talk freely. And leaders should be able to listen. And leaders, when they listen, act on it. And that's the only way we could get a country where we will see leaders listening and that nobody will be frightened to talk and say, when you see a wrong, talk out about the wrong. And when the wrong come, you deal with the wrong. And that is the only way we can move forward. The truth has hurt, you know. And the truth has hurt badly. But the main thing, you're bringing out the truth.
And that's the facts, eh? Once you're bringing out the truth, that is it. I want again to say thank you. I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for waking up this morning. Again, please extend a heartfelt condolence to all of your family, including the three children. This is really a sad story. And I am on page 7 with you this morning, demanding justice for everyone that would have fallen victim to murderous intent, especially if they was not involved in anything and they were innocent bystanders. I'm not talking and a bias on it, eh? Not the ones who involved. You see the 9-year-old? You mentioned the Andrea Barrett. Now we have the latest installment here, Anushka Eversley and others like her, like those. We demanding justice for this. And as you rightfully say, our focus now on Dr. Carla Barnett in CARICOM Secretariat. But we're not studying right here. We have a crisis unfolding that commands our urgent and prudent attention. I thank you very much, Wendell. And again, be safe. And please, we will chat with you as the funeral arrangements are made available going forward. You know, tell us what's happening. We will probably reach out to you by the end of the week to see what's the developments. Thank you, and have a safe and great day. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.